Welcome to the Head Trash Show. My name is Alexia Leachman and I'm the founder of Head Trash, home to the new and unique Head Trash Clearance Method that removes unwanted negative thoughts, feelings and emotions quickly and effectively so that you can achieve clarity, confidence and contentment in your life. My goal with this podcast is to teach you how to create some headspace by helping you to unpick what's blocking you and sharing some tips and how-tos for clearing it. Tune in every week as I share simple strategies to help you to achieve confidence and clarity in your life and business. To find out how to clear your head trash quickly and effectively using our unique method, pop over to headtrash.com to get our free download and subscribe for our free head trash clearance updates. And now for the show. Hello and welcome back to the Head Trash Show. This is me, your host, Alexia Leachman. Now, in today's show, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about neutrality. And the reason I want to explore neutrality a bit more is because I was giving a workshop this week and so many people came to see me at the end telling me how once they've heard me talk more about neutrality, it helped them to understand so much more about why they experience what they experience and how to start getting over it. And that gave them a lot of help and insight. And I thought, well, you know, it'd be really worth exploring this a little bit more and helping you to understand the role that neutrality can play in our own happiness and our ability to be stress-free and to remain calm. So that is what I'm going to talk about today. But before I do, I just want to ask you for a little bit of help. Now, we've had a few episodes recently where I've had some guest speakers on to help me to unpick certain types of head trash. And I'd love to get your feedback as to how helpful you think that is, whether you want more of that stuff, you know, what you really want to hear from me here at the Head Trash Show. What is going to help you to start getting over your head trash, being free of it, and bring you one step nearer to being even more awesome than you already are? So is it hearing me really sort of talk more about the technique that I'm encouraging you to use through our five-step process that you can get free off the homepage? Or is it really helpful to hear me unpick a certain type of head trash with some expert guests? What is it that you find really useful? Come and tell me, jump onto the Facebook page and tell me what you want to hear, or simply just send me an email at hello@headtrash.co.uk, because this show is for you and I want to make sure that I'm coming up with stuff that's really going to help you. And the best way for me to do that is if you tell me. So please do come and tell me what you want to hear more of at the Head Trash Show. So back to today's show, which is all about neutrality. So before I go on to talk about neutrality, I want to just really sort of take a few steps back first and talk a little bit more about opposites and the law of opposites when it comes to our emotions, because I think that does set the scene somewhat when we think about where neutrality fits into all this and why it actually works. So let's just for a moment think about a pair of opposite emotions that might be in play. And so, for example, let's just start with the example of rudeness. Now, I would imagine that if you're listening to this, I mean, most people do think that rudeness is a bad thing. It's not good. And so if you hear somebody else being rude, maybe you witness somebody else being rude in a queue, for example, at the supermarket, that kind of thing, then you may feel compelled to butt in, possibly. You certainly might start finding that you're noticing a reaction in yourself as you hear this other person being really, really rude. And you might think, well, this is completely uncalled for. This is completely bang out of order. And all these thoughts might be rising within you. And eventually you might even feel compelled to step up and say something and jump in and say something, well, maybe rude. Except you feel, actually, you've kind of fallen into that. And maybe with hindsight, that wasn't necessarily the right thing for you to do. However, you kind of just got sucked into that whole pattern of behaviour. Now, the reason that you don't like rudeness is probably because you think that being polite and respectful is really, really important. And maybe politeness and respect feature quite highly in your values, you know, the things in your life that are very, very important to you. And so when you witness somebody else who's out, you know, basically treading all over your values and betraying them in some way, such as being rude does to the values of politeness and respect, then you're going to take that personally. And when you start taking things personally, we just can't help but respond in maybe a more forceful manner than when we're not taking things personally. And that means that sometimes we don't fully have control over that situation. So back to the rudeness thing, even though you hate rudeness, suddenly you find that you're actually being rude too. And so you've now turned into a huge hypocrite, okay? So that really, if you were to take a step back and observe your behaviour, isn't brilliant. But how do we stop doing that? And why do we do it? Well, that's what I want to try and tackle next and explain next. The thing to think about when it comes to opposites is and opposites when it comes to emotions are very, very personal to us. They're very unique to us. So they're not always going to be the same for everybody. So you might find that, you know, for you, the opposite of rudeness might not be politeness and respect. It might be something else. But for the purposes of explaining it, I'm going to stick with those. So the reason that you hate rudeness so much is because you love politeness and respect so much. So I'm going to now invite you to think about a seesaw, because sometimes that can help. So if you imagine a seesaw, and you've got all this love energy. So imagine this bag that you're filling with all this love energy that you have for politeness and respect. And you dump that bag at one end of the seesaw. So there's a big weight sitting at one end of the seesaw. Now, for you to effect any kind of change on that seesaw, you're going to need to apply an equal but opposite force at the other end. This is sort of physics 101, okay? One of the basic laws of physics at play here, that you need to now discover what the opposite force is. So in emotional terms, the opposite force of respect and polite in this example is rudeness. And so suddenly there's an equal but opposite force at play at the other end, which is this energy that you put into being rude. However, the problem is that you don't really have much of a say as to when this rudeness sprouts out of you, because you're so highly charged and highly weighted down with your love of politeness and respect. So if you were to imagine for a moment that you didn't love politeness and respect so much, you know, just imagine you're emptying that bag a bit, then suddenly it wouldn't take so much of a force at the other end to create balance between the two and get a little bit of a level playing field. You know, if you wanted a flat seesaw, for example, because let's be honest, in life, even though politeness and respect are very, very important, it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. You're not going to want to be respectful and polite to every single person in every single situation. You might have somebody that's coming to your house every day trying to sell you something, whether it's a salesperson, whether it's a neighbour pestering you for something, and eventually, you know, if you're polite to them all the time, they're just going to keep coming back, wasting your time and annoying you and your family. So maybe one day it might be quite appropriate to be a little bit rude and say, look, you know, stop it. Stop coming here and disturbing me and my family or whatever it is. And that situation may call for a little bit of rudeness, because otherwise they won't get the message. However, some people, because they hate rudeness so much, in that moment wouldn't actually be able to be rude because they don't like it, they think it's bad. So on a conscious level, some people find it very, very hard to be rude deliberately. They're only rude undeliberately. It comes out of them in an uncontrolled manner, such as the situation in the supermarket when you hear somebody else being rude and suddenly you're spouting out rude comments without realising, and it's not really in your control. You see, there is a difference there between choosing to be rude because the situation requires it and being rude because you're responding to a situation. And the difference there is the difference between neutrality in play and neutrality not being in play. Because when neutrality is in play, that seesaw that I described is actually level. And if you were to get on the seesaw, you could choose to go at either end at will. So if you need to be polite and respectful, you can. If you need to be rude, you can. But you don't get sucked into one way of behaving, regardless of the situation that's actually unfolding before you. So when we have neutrality about something, it actually gives us the freedom, choice, and flexibility to respond in the most appropriate way for that situation. And when I say most appropriate, I mean most appropriate for you and for others in that situation. And so neutrality actually affords us a little bit of a time lag, a little bit of space. And it's in that space that we can be mindful and behave in a more mindful way. But it's also in that space that prevents all these other emotions from piling in. And it's those emotions, when they come piling in, that mean that we suddenly lose control of ourselves in that moment and then start behaving in ways that, with hindsight and looking back, we prefer we didn't. But also, when we aren't overcome with all those emotions, we're able to stay much calmer in the moment. And when we're much calmer, it means that whatever we do choose to say and however we do choose to express ourselves is going to carry a lot more weight. So, for example, let me just invite you to think about some debating shows or some news programmes where the politicians are being interviewed. And so here in the UK, we have programmes such as Newsnight or the Radio 4 Today programme. And I'm sure you've heard many an instance where you've got people being interviewed and they gradually start to lose it a bit and get a little bit het up and they start raising their voices, they interrupt, they want to get their point across, and they don't really have control over that situation. And the minute that starts happening, I don't know about you, but me, I stop listening. And suddenly I start thinking about how they're losing the plot as opposed to whether their point of view is valid and whether what they've got to say is actually relevant to what's going on. I've stopped listening at that point. And I'm sure you do too, because when people are overcome with emotions, we just stop listening. And so your ability to stay calm in a moment and express whether it's rudeness or anger in a calm manner will actually mean it's a lot more impactful and effective. And you won't lose other people's attention spans in terms of what you're saying. So whatever you're saying will actually get through. So all in all, when you think about wanting to find neutrality about something, that is what can happen. So let's go back to our example about rudeness and politeness or respect. If you were to neutralize the either end of the seesaw, so use our five-step technique on things like respect, politeness, and rudeness, or whatever those opposites are for you, then you literally just apply that five-step process. Because you're looking at the opposites, you're clearing all that energetic charge that's sitting at both ends. Those bags of energy that are sitting at both ends of the seesaw, suddenly you're clearing those out the way. You're still allowing yourself to go at either end of the seesaw, but it's not in a fixed position. It's not stuck. And that is what gives you choice. And so that is why achieving neutrality around any pair of opposing emotions can start to bring you more happiness, because ultimately you're experiencing less stress in your life. Now, that is my take on neutrality, and I've got a little bit more to say about it. But before I do, I thought it'd be really useful and interesting to hear somebody else talk about neutrality and just hear somebody else's perspective. So what I've got for you is the time that when I spoke to Chris Milbank about what he thinks about neutrality, because it's from him that I learnt the concept of neutrality, and we're both sort of making sense of it in our own way. And how I've just described it to you might not, you might still be sitting there thinking, still don't get it, Lexia, not really sure. So here is when I asked Chris Milbank what he thought about neutrality. And look out, there is a bleeper in this part of the audio, because Chris Milbank got me a little bit of trouble by using a naughty word, but I have bleeped it out. So hopefully you won't be offended, but be warned in case you are easily offended. Okay, over to Chris. What is neutrality for you? How do you describe the idea of neutrality and creating neutrality with Head Trash?
Well, one day I was on Twitter and I had a American audience, and it was actually a political audience that I was working with, so outside of my ordinary field. And I talked to creating neutrality around various different values and things. And somebody came back with a statement that was fairly obvious, and I suppose that a lot of people would naturally think. They said, well, I don't want to feel neutral about anything. And neutrality isn't feeling neutral. Let's get this clear. Neutrality is what I would call unconditional love, where you just feel good. You're in the flow. Whatever happens, you're going to feel good. You know, it's one of those days where, you know, bad things going to happen and good things going to happen, but you're going to be on a merry flow. You're feeling good. Now, neutrality is the opposite of polarity. So what is polarity? Well, polarity is like good and bad, love and hate. We can really feel happy about something and give us a good emotion. Emotion means energy in motion. That is a positive polarity. Let's just imagine that that energy has a plus voltage, okay? And then there is negative emotion. Something happens that makes them feel bad. Their dog leaves home. Had enough of them. They've had an argument. That would make me feel bad. And that may well then, in metaphorical terms, have a negative voltage. These are opposite polarities. Yeah. Dog comes back, you feel happy. Dog goes, you feel bad. Yeah. Your loved one comes home, you feel great. Your loved one says, I'm going forever, you feel bad. There's a void. And there's these ups and these downs. These are polarities, like you describe the seesaw, the ups and downs in life. Yeah. And we enjoy the ups, but we really don't enjoy the downs. And but there are days when we can just feel good. Yeah. Feel good. And that's what we call neutrality. It's this unconditional love. Unconditional love is real love. It's not the needy love. When someone says that you love, I'm going away for 10 years. Oh, please don't go. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to feel bad. I'm going to feel upset. I'm going to be all alone. I'm going to be depressed. These are needs. So you might love them, but these are needs. And when it's unconditional love, you're just happy that they are doing something that's going to make them happy. That's kind of the where we want to aim to go towards more in life. So we can just be happy anyway. We can be happy that our friends and our loved ones aren't turning up to our dinner party because they're going somewhere that's going to make them even happier. That's unconditional love. And so many people obviously don't have this. This is the bulk of most arguments. Most fallouts in relationships of all kinds, not just loving relationships, but friendship, colleague, amigos, and whatever, work and so forth, is these needs. And so the polarity is need in many cases. And so what we need to do need to do is to look at these polarities and bring them together. And heal the polarity and its opposite, the plus and the minus, the good emotion with the bad emotion about how we feel about something, the value. You know, what is it that you need from this person that's going away, that's making you feel so upset? I'm going to feel alone. Okay, so there's aloneness, yeah, versus maybe companionship. Let's bring these opposite polarities together. Let's bring them together and crash them together, it creates neutrality when we bring them together and heal them. So you have this unconditional flow.
So it just so I can try and maybe try and interpret what you've just explained in a way that maybe makes sense to me, that maybe would help those that other people out there, is that essentially, sort of going back to the seesaw analogy, where you've got sort of polarity, which is, a weight at either end of the seesaw. And if you don't clear the excess at one end, then you can kind of, the seesaw's stuck in one position. And even though you try walking to the top, because of the weight, you just keep slipping down and you keep defaulting to where all the energy is. And so by creating, by clearing that excess energy at both ends, you can literally just wander up and down that seesaw and be at either end in a really in a lovely flowing way. And if you want to sit in the middle, you can. If you want to go either end, you can. But essentially, it's giving you that freedom, choice, and flexibility to explore the whole of that dynamic of those two opposites that are in play for you. Is that kind of a way of looking at it, using that
You
seesaw
know,
analogy?
Alexia, I love your personal genius. I always describe scales, which are nowhere near as fun as a seesaw. And can't really ride a set of scales or had much fun sat in the middle. But yes, the seesaw analogy is absolutely perfect. Sometimes we want to be still and we want to be in the middle. Life, sometimes we learn a lot from our downs. There's, from all bad comes good, and it's simple as that. And without polarity, we wouldn't learn the what good can come from the bad. And we also need the ups. Encourages us through life, encourages us to carry on, to smile, to bring others up. And the ability to run from one end to the other and into the middle. I live by the RR laws of opposites, at least somewhat. I always like to do opposites, so sometimes I don't. But to kind of balance somewhere. But very, very interestingly, I have something. We all go through bad stuff or shit or crap in our life, head trash. And when the bad stuff is happening, and when it's really bringing it on and it's weighing you down and whatever, a little voice inside my head says, "Hey, Chris, just remember this: from all bad comes good." And that immediately takes my thought to the future of what good is coming, and it brings a smile on my face. And that's what I concentrate on. And that's where I keep my thought when things are bad. But then I do the opposite when things are good. I don't think, "Oh God, from all good comes bad." I stay in the present. And so I use the laws of opposites in the thought processes. I enjoy the good while it's happening. And when the bad and the shit and the crap is happening, I look to the future when it's coming good again, because inevitably it will. And of course, just to throw another one of your favorite words is head into the whole process, is the we it's good to balance with unbalance as well. Just going back to the seesaw analogy again, we need the ups and downs in our lives to take a regulation of what will be good for us. If we don't know what bad is, we really don't know what good is. If we don't know what right is for ourselves, not what it should be, but for ourselves, then we really aren't going to know what wrong is for ourselves, and vice versa. So it's balancing the imbalance and imbalancing the balance. If we're so balanced all of the time, probably life would be quite boring. What journey would we be on? What would we be learning? Would we be creating any polarity to make neutrality? Probably not. I don't think anybody wants to be, the absolutely perfect person.
So that was Chris sharing his perspective on neutrality. So hopefully by hearing both of us talk about what we think neutrality is, you've been able to maybe come to some kind of understanding as to what it is and how you can use it to help you to move on and be happy and be calm and have less conflict in your life, but also to be more mindful. We talk a lot about meditation practices can help us to achieve more mindfulness. But also, just by clearing the energetic charge with your opposites can also bring about the same result. And if I'm perfectly honest, you can actually achieve that much quicker. I'm not saying that meditation isn't good because it's brilliant and it's got its own benefits as well. But by clearing your energetic charges around your opposing emotions, you can actually speed up the effectiveness of your meditation practice as well. So by pairing up meditation with our head trash clearance method, we'll actually send you on the fast route to mindful and stress-free living. But I've just got one final analogy to share with you about neutrality that might be helpful for you as well. And that's the analogy of the automatic car gearbox. Now, if you imagine getting into a car that's stuck in reverse, now that would be a pretty horrific experience and a little bit stressful because the car would be probably whizzing around in circles and you would just be completely stuck. And that is the kind of thing that happens with your default behavioural patterns. It's just stuck in one mode. And what we're able to do with neutrality is pretty much like you would in an automatic car, is put it back into neutral so that when you get into the car, you have a car that's still and you're able to decide which gear to put it in. Maybe you do need to reverse or maybe you need to go forward. And again, it's giving you that space to think and make a conscious decision as opposed to going with the decision that's already been made somewhere deep within you. So hopefully that is another way of looking at it that helps you to understand the benefits, or certainly what you can enjoy by having neutrality in your life. So I hope that today's show was useful, and certainly if you can observe areas in your life where you do suddenly fall into these patterns of behaviour that when you look back you think, oh, why did I do that? Then this is one really great way of getting past it and stopping that from happening in your life. Try and figure out what the emotion is that's happening, and then clear both that emotion and the opposite, or if it's a value, then clear that value and its opposite. And that can have a huge, huge impact in your ability to be able to remain calm and therefore stress-free. So good luck with that. Let me know if you need any help at all. You can find me on the Facebook page, and also come and find me by emailing me at hello@headtrash.co.uk. I cannot wait to hear from you, so please do get in touch. And if there's anything else that you'd like me to hear me talk about here on the Head Trash Show, or any experts that you think would make really brilliant guests, then please let me know too. I cannot wait to hear. And please don't forget to leave me a review on iTunes. And I particularly would love some reviews from listeners in the US, because we've had some really great chart success on iTunes, and we're regularly in the top 5 in the UK charts of self-help and of the health charts, and it'd be fantastic to get into the charts in the US. So, but for that to happen, I need some US reviews, please. So if you could please leave me a review on the charts on iTunes, that would be fantastic. Thank you so much, and until next time, bye for now. You've just been listening to Alexi Leachman here on the Head Trash Show. If you enjoyed the show, I'd really appreciate you leaving a review here on iTunes. And don't forget to pop over to headtrash.com to get your copy of our free 5 Steps to Clearing Head Trash guide. Now stay tuned for upcoming episodes and more tips and how-tos for clearing your head trash and reclaiming your headspace. Until next time, bye for now.